The following is an encore episode of Hour 1 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy.
You've tuned to the Turley Frequency, starring your host, Kevin Turley, with guest stars Mike Romano and Reed Hodges, and special guest stars, the members of the FCC, whom we respect respectfully. Now, time to get tuned into the frequency. Call the show at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. Or text us at 251-928-2111. And now we cross live to the Archangel Radio Studios in downtown Fairhope to at last feel the Turley Frequency.
Welcome to the Turley Frequency, here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Today on the show, we speak with Dave Cook, who is the Executive Director of the World Villages for Children. And he will be telling us all about an order of nuns who are doing an awful lot to alleviate poverty and help educate some of the world's poorest children. We meet with Dave in the next segment. Top of the hour, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And guess what? You're invited to join us. Yes, that's right. Feel free to text me your prayer requests on 251-928-2111. In the final segment today, we speak to Dr. Paul Thigpen on the latest congressional UFO hearings and get his take on the reality and indeed the spiritual reality of what is actually going on there. Okay, with all this good stuff, let's get this show on the road. Hello and welcome back to Wednesday's edition of the Turley Frequency. Wednesday, a day traditionally dedicated to St. Joseph, who is the patron of all talk radio hosts because he didn't say a word. He's certainly my patron for my hosting on this show. So St. Joseph, good to have you on board and help us today to reach as many souls as possible. Now, yesterday I asked you a question and I didn't get any response. Do you remember the question? What? You don't even remember the question? No wonder I didn't get any response. The question was, remember July, we were constantly talking about it being dedicated to the precious blood of Jesus. Do you remember? So I left you with a question. What is August traditionally dedicated to? Any ideas? There's still time. I might run this as a little competition for 5 minutes just to see if there's anybody listening. Is there anybody out there? I cry. Text me an answer on 251-928-2111. Let's give this 5 to 10 minutes of a run and see if anybody knows what this month is dedicated to. Now, 5 minutes on the internet, 2 seconds on the internet, you will find the answer. That's not what I'm asking you to do. If you do know, let me know. If you don't know, that's fine as well. I will tell you. All will be revealed in a moment or two. Now, I turned on the news this morning, and it's all American news over here. It's all from the United States. President Trump, Donald Trump, he dominates the news. Still. I mean, he hasn't been president, what, for 3 years? I'd say most of the British population know the name and the face and the voice of President Donald Trump rather than the current incumbent of the White House, who they would probably scratch their heads and say, who's that guy again? Is he young enough to be the president? So the news is all breaking this morning, all over the place. Indictments, criminal charges. You can read it for yourself, any amount of it. It comes on the heels of a very big story in the New York Times yesterday, which was very shocking for New York Times readers, and that was that the polls that they were running, the opinion polls, both Biden and Trump were coming in as a tie. That's right, they're both coming in at 43%. The rest are undecided, but it was 43 each. And what the New York Times was scratching his head was saying, how can this be? How can somebody so awful like Donald Trump, how can he be still so popular with so many Americans? I think they might be in for a shock, actually, at the way things are going. But anyway, so we will watch this one. Obviously, it's not my place to comment on the American political systems in a partisan way. But as an outsider, I can observe that it is really – I tell you what, it may not be nice to be living under such a jurisdiction at this time. But you know what? Sitting outside it, watching it, never a dull moment. Never a dull moment. Makes British politics look pretty dull. Really, even though we had a lot of excitement last summer with Boris Johnson being booted out of Downing Street, and then his replacement came in, and then she was booted out after 30 or 40 days, and we've got who we've got now. And it was all excitement. I was just reflecting on that before the show started, because last summer here in London, it was so hot. We had record-breaking temperatures, 100 degrees. Which is unusual for us, okay? I know you get that all the time in different parts of the States, but over here, I mean, you know, it gets up to 80. Occasionally it might get to 90 on a very, very hot day, but 100? So, we had 100 degrees, and everybody was saying the world was going to end, and that every summer after this we would be just burning and roasting and boiling, and the world would be an inferno. There'd be no water, there'd be no rain, there'd be no grass. It hasn't stopped raining, you know, for the last 4 weeks, at least. And the forecast is for the next 4 weeks, the whole of August, the height of the summer, for rain. And I was looking out at the grey skies and the pouring rain that is hitting against the window that I'm looking out on. The good news is, though, the garden is doing great. I've never seen so many weeds of various sorts, thank you to the rain. But it also stops me having to go out and water all the plants and do all the sort of manly chores that your wife decides you need to do. And you go out and you water this and water that and do this and do that. I can't do any of it. What a shame. I have to stay inside and read a book. Talking of books, I was so happy. I was right. The postman came the other day, and, you know, the post in this country is a bit hit and miss. I'm sure it's much better in the United States. But here, you know, sometimes the post, they arrive just when I'm out, normally at Mass in the morning. They come and they leave a little note saying, we couldn't deliver. And instead of just leaving it with the neighbor, we have wonderful neighbors all over, they take it back to the depot where the post all resides, the mail center, right? Mail. That's what you call it in the States. And it's a little bit of a trek. Now, I don't mind making it. It's about a 20, 30-minute walk. And I kind of wander over there and then get the parcel and then come home. But they decided to say on the little slip that they would try and deliver yesterday. So they did. And I was so glad. I was in at the time. They came in the afternoon, dropped it in. And it was Steve Ray's book. Yeah, the one on Genesis. Do you remember? The one we talked about last week. And I was so excited. I'm so looking forward to reading that after our wonderful conversation last week. If you missed that, and indeed if you miss any of these episodes of any of these shows, you know you can go back and listen to them all. They're all on the website, archangelradio.com. Just hunt around. You'll find the Turley Frequency and you'll find past episodes. And the one on Steve Ray I find very, very interesting. Really interesting. Especially his talking about the use of words in Genesis, which is obviously the first book of the Bible. And were the first word of the first time the word love is in the Bible. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I'm not going to tell you where it is. You're going to have to go back and listen to it. Anyway, we're hoping to get Steve back. I mean, I don't know what you think. I mean, do feel free, you know, to give us some feedback on the guests. You can always text us, 251-928-2111, and just say, yeah, we liked that guest. No, we didn't like this guest. Could we have so-and-so back again? You know, we're supposed to be interactive, right? Very happy to hear your comments. Now, all this news about Donald Trump and climate and all of this sort of thing, you would think that there is a huge event which is happening at this moment in Europe, is not happening at all. If you, certainly if you were listening to the mainstream radio in the UK, no mention whatsoever. But there never is. There never has been. And that is, of course, World Youth Day, which kicked off yesterday and runs to the end of the week in Lisbon, Portugal. I did do a quick search on the New York Times to see what it was saying about World Youth Day. And I got very, very excited because up popped something called, which said the headline, World Youth Day Opens. I thought, this is great. Clicked on it. It was from 2008. That is the earliest, or sorry, the soonest reference to World Youth Day in the New York Times. 2008. 15 years ago. Don't they keep up with the times, at the times? But this doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me. I was very lucky to go to World Youth Day. Well, before I tell you that, let's have a quick listen to a piece of news which will bring us up to speed. It's a short report which I dug out from Rome Reports, and it's going to just set the scene. It'll give you all the facts and all the information you're going to need, which saves me having to regurgitate it. So let's have a little listen to just what's taking place at this moment in Lisbon.
More than 300,000 young people of different nationalities and backgrounds, with an average age of 31, are expected to participate in World Youth Day in Lisbon, Portugal. After surveying more than 12,000 young people, a study by the Spanish consulting firm GAD3 found that for 66% of pilgrims, this will be their first World Youth Day experience. This will be my first World Youth Day. I have never participated in any other, and I'm very excited. I can't wait to get there. The remaining percentage of young people have already attended at least one other World Youth Day. 92% of them say that World Youth Day has had a great impact on their lives.
I attended World Youth Day in 2005. That was my first World Youth Day and my first overseas trip. That was in Cologne, Germany, and that made a huge impact in my life. And then later on, I attended the more local World Youth Day in Sydney, so I didn't have to travel far for that. And then 2016, I went to Poland.
The vast majority will come from Portugal, the host country for this celebration, Spain, and Italy. Nevertheless, many young people are also coming from Latin America, particularly Brazil. Most people will stay in Lisbon for an estimated 5 days and will travel by plane and bus. But others are also making the journey on a boat. It will be a long and difficult journey. We will go by boat and then by bus, and eventually we will get there. Almost 40% of pilgrims will take advantage of their journey to Portugal to visit other countries in Europe, like Spain, France, or Italy. Our destination is World Youth Day, and we are going to participate. But we are also going to make a pilgrimage to various parts of Europe, which we also believe are significant for Christianity, for Catholicism, for everything. 7 out of 10 young people are traveling to Lisbon as pilgrims, while 3 out of 10 are attending as volunteers and will help with various tasks for World Youth Day.
So there you have it. That is a very good little summary there of World Youth Day. And I have been to a number of World Youth Days. I went to Paris in 97 and Rome in the year 2000. And I'll tell you all about that in due course over the next days, if not sooner. But the one thing I will say about World Youth Day is when you're not a youth, you can't quite see the attraction or maybe even understand the attraction. Because I'll be honest with you, if you're going to go to World Youth Day, especially if you're a young, able-bodied person, you're going to have to rough it for a few days, right? You're going to have to sleep on floors and, you know, it's all that stuff, which actually young people, when I was young, we all kind of enjoyed, with one exception. I'll tell you that story later. But we all kind of enjoy that sort of, you know, feel like we're going on an adventure. Feel like, you know, it's like the Lord of the Rings or something, a little company. We're setting out on this great adventure. And that's what World Youth Day is for many, many young people. And when I say young people, I think the ages are sort of from teenagers up to early 30s. They're the official ages. Now, of course, there are older people that come sometimes that are leading groups and so forth. But there are also younger people who come as families and so on. So it's a real mix. But the real interest, the real focus is, of course, young people. And in particular, young people who are discerning a vocation, a way to live, or are having difficulties with their faith, or maybe even need their faith to be reinforced, to be helped in some way. That's the kind of key demographic that World Youth Day acts upon. And I use those words very deliberately, acts upon, because it's not what the Pope says, as good as it will be, I'm sure. It's not what some bishop says or doesn't say. It's not how some youth leader tries to corral his charges into some church or some site of a relic. It's nothing to do with that, in one sense. It's all to do with that, of course. And it's got absolutely nothing to do with overcrowding and lining up for everything, including the use of the bathrooms. And it's not about having to get used to different food or the climate's too hot, too cold. Nothing to do with any of that. What your World Youth Day is to do with is a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Now, you might say to me, Kevin, that sounds a little bit over the top. I don't think so. And I've been there. Let me tell you why. It's because of what happens next. And I've seen this, seen it in my own life, but I've seen it in so many people's lives. In fact, I've just written an article about it, which I may refer to, the National Catholic Register. And it's all about three people whose lives were radically changed by World Youth Day. But they are a drop in the ocean. I could have written that article 20 times with another three people in each article. 100 times, maybe. Now, that is not because of simply what some Pope said, as good as it is. As I say, I was at two World Youth Days. If you put me up against the wall with a loaded gun to my head and said, tell me what the Pope said on those two occasions, I'd have to go and look at the transcripts. I've got no idea. I can't remember. That wasn't the point. The point was in that ancient idea of pilgrimage to something unknown, something unquantifiable, and yet something which is life-changing. Now, I talked about a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many of you will know your Bibles, and many of you will know the Acts of the Apostles, and you will know at the very, very start of the Acts of the Apostles, I'm just looking it up here as we speak, you will know that Pentecost happens. Now, what a lot of Christians don't realize is that Pentecost is a Jewish feast, but we'll talk about that on another day. But that is when the Holy Spirit really comes into the life of the church. And you remember that there were people there with all different languages, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome. It was a forerunner of World Youth Day, because it's just all these nationalities coming together, not quite knowing why they're being brought together. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit comes down, and the rest is literally history. That is the start of the church which you and I belong to. Thankfully, that's the church that we're baptized into. And hopefully, those of us have been received the sacraments, we have received that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So what's happening in Portugal today in these days is the fanning into life, as St. Paul says, of that gift of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these young people. Now, we will be praying for them during the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We're going to pray for everybody's safety, but we're also going to be praying for that mysterious action of grace that the Holy Spirit will really set on fire this earth that we belong to, not in a climate change sense, but in a spiritual sense, and that this will become the hottest summer ever in Portugal because the Holy Spirit is burning in the hearts of the young people who have traveled there, even though they don't know why. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be meeting a man who's helping young people who are less fortunate than you or I. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Turley, and it's so good to have you with me on this Wednesday morning. Rain-soaked here in London. I hope it's nicer wherever you're listening to this broadcast now. Across the world, the World Villages for Children supports the education programs of a Catholic order of nuns called the Sisters of Mary, who run live-in schools for the most deprived boys and girls from right across the globe. In places like the Philippines, Mexico, Guatemala, Brazil, Honduras, and Tanzania, World Villages for Children provides equitable access to education for boys and girls and funds school places and all the daily care needed for nearly 20,000 children each year. Alongside a strong academic foundation, the children learn the vocational and social skills they need to find employment, gain confidence, and above all, boost their self-respect. Now, the most important thing of all probably is that they experience the joy of a childhood free from fear and the chance of a future free from poverty for themselves and their loved ones. Let's hear a little bit about what a day in the life of a Sister of Mary sounds like.
The odds are against them. A few dozen of the Sisters of Mary, this religious community at the Villa de los Niños in Chalco, and the 3,300 girls they care for spread out over these 15 acres of land, can somewhat overwhelm one's senses. But with the odds stacked against the sisters, each sister has been forced to make a choice, to live or to die.
I want to be a sister because I want to take care of the children, really as my own children, and to live for them.
Sister Martha is just one of more than 400 Sisters of Mary worldwide who wake up each morning to offer herself as a sacrifice. Her children as if they were her own. It is her desire to mother them, to mother their souls and to lift them into the lap of Christ. Each has chosen to die. Each has made a choice to offer herself as a victim each day. Because the sisters know that it is in dying for these their spiritual children, many of whom have been hurt by the brutality that poverty brings, these battered souls will rise again.
I feel that I suffer also with them, and I really admire them because they are very young and they are very strong to bear the suffering.
And
That is all very inspiring stuff. I'm sure you'll agree. Now, down the line this morning, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Dave Cook, who is the Washington, D.C. based executive director for the World Villages for Children. Dave, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Nice to be here, Kevin.
Now, Dave, I don't think, the visuals we would really need to get a full idea of the sisters' lives, but there's some really strong words in that video, words like sacrifice, mothering souls, each has chosen to die. With that sort of talk, Dave, I bet you're not getting many recruits for the Sisters of Mary.
You know, it really is a beautiful story, the sisters that they've really devoted their lives to emptying their cup. And I've been in various ministry roles within the church for the better part of 20 years now. And I've never seen such trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. My first visit to the girls' town, what brought me to tears was these sisters carrying the Eucharist to the girls during Mass, and you could see, you could feel the total trust in God that they have. And I think that it's that trust that has enabled them to grow, to thrive. And as the sisters have grown, so have their ministries. And it's been one of the most beautiful experiences of my life to be a part of this organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite remarkable. I mean, I was being facetious when I asked the question, because it seems that this call to this sort of self-sacrifice really does produce the best. You know, people really respond to it. But what's also, I mean, the other thing which is very clear is looking at a number of videos the World Villages for Children today. And the one thing that struck me from both sisters and their charges was how joyful they all were. And yet these are people who are living often in very, very deprived circumstances.
Serving the Lord with joy is their motto, and they get that from Venerable Aloysius Schwartz, who is the founder of the Sisters of Mary. And you're absolutely right. The joy is the founding virtue, really the building block, the cornerstone of the sisters and the children they serve. And, you know, Kevin, if I could, framing this in the battle that we know is happening in our souls and across the world of good versus evil. And these sisters, they go into the belly of evil, of suffering, of poverty, and they bring joy out of these places where you wouldn't expect to see hope, where you wouldn't expect to see joy. And you can only leave an experience with the sisters to say this, it cannot be anything but the work of the Holy Spirit that's going on here.
Absolutely. And the reference to the battle of good and evil, which is absolutely correct, of course, because we're talking about the 20,000 or so children that are in the being looked after by the sisters. These are children in extreme poverty in countries where they would be extremely vulnerable to trafficking and other ills, right?
Yes, in fact, we are in the process of, well, the sisters are in the process of building a new boys town in Tanzania. And literally these weeks of the summer, they have been traveling by motorcycle, by van, by any means to the peripheries of Tanzania to bring these children into this new school. Including to the very foot of Mount Kilimanjaro. There's a small town at the southern end of Kilimanjaro called Moshi. Mm-hmm. And they were recently there to interview families, children, to be a part of the inaugural class at Boys Town in Dodoma. And the families, the children, have had to overcome all sorts of obstacles to meet the sisters as much as they go out to them. In fact, just this past May, we had three of the children attacked by a lion, if you can believe that, on their way from taking the exam with the sisters. And Sister Margie, who is one of our sisters on site in Dodoma, she talks about riding in a van of 24 that's supposed to be for 24 people, and there's 50 people in the van, and children are riding on the laps of women who aren't their mothers. And this is the work of the sisters. They go out two by two to these places of suffering to bring these children into these incredible places, the boys' towns and girls' towns that they steward.
It's absolutely incredible. But answer me this, Dave. I mean, I've been working in Catholic media for longer than I care to remember. Until I was slated to interview you today, I had never heard of the World Villages for Children. I mean, are you one of the best kept secrets in the church today?
We are the best charity that no one has ever heard of, and it really goes
that's your new strap line. You know that, Dave?
Well, there's a history to it, because Father Al, he was born in 1930, ordained in 1957. From an early age, he knew that he was both called to become a priest and a missionary. And his first incarnation was in the Diocese of Korea in post-Korean War South Korea. And his work was taking place alongside that of Mother Teresa in India. And in fact, Father Al, who was named Venerable in 2015 by Pope Francis, he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow.
And, you know, myself reading about Father Al for the first time, somewhat recently, to be honest with you, I found myself asking the same question. How do people not know about this incredible saint? And in my own spiritual life, I can tell you that reading Father Al and getting to know the sisters and their spirit of poverty has elevated my own spiritual life to a dimension that I didn't know that could be possible. And that's the story that we tell our supporters, both current and potential, both the opportunity to support the work of the sisters, but to elevate their own spirituality and to join in communion with the prayer life of the sisters to perform their charitable works. But, you know, in some practical details, it costs $1,500 to educate, board, and feed a child for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And were you ever to visit a boys' town or girls' town, and we'd love to have you at any one of our 16 sites, the efficiency of operations is something that would astound you. The stewarding of the resources that they have. Many of our sites have their own crops that the sisters and the children are growing together, and that they eat for their meals that very evening. Many of them even have the opportunity to sell some of their crops when there's a surplus in terms of feeding the children. They mend their own clothes on site. They bake their own bread. All these things that it's like a university campus, each one of these boys' towns and girls' towns.
Well, that's a very nice point just to stop, because when we come back, we're just going to take a short break, Dave. When we come back, I'm going to sort of go through a day, an average day in one of these boys' towns, girls' towns. So listen, you're listening to Dave Cook. He's the executive director for the World Villages for Children. As Dave says, it's the best Catholic charity you've never heard of, until this morning, that is. If you have any questions for Dave, do feel free to call us on 888-928-0881 or text me and I'll ask the questions on 251-928. 1-800-222-111. Back after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. To the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. I'm your host Kevin Turley, and I'm in a fascinating conversation with Dave Cook, who is the Executive Director for World Villages for Children. And if you haven't heard about them, well, you're just about to hear about them in a moment. Now, I have a couple of questions for you, Dave, that have come in on the text. There's a sort of a query as to who is financing these guys, question mark. Do you want to take that, Dave? Where do you get your money from?
That's a great question, and that also starts with Father Al when he was building various charities in Korea where the sisters were started. He would write letters to supporters in the United States, and they were both Catholic and non-Catholic from all walks of life who want to serve the poor internationally. And the office where I'm, speaking with you this morning is the very office that he founded in 1961. Right. And so we've continued our outreach efforts here in the U.S. Since then, we have had sister offices be founded in various parts of Europe. And together we work to grant to the Sisters of Mary, who are now hosted or centered in the Philippines, and they in turn the roughly $30 million of funds that are raised between our offices in turn go out to the 17 girls' towns and boys' towns and to the 20,000 students that they serve.
So it's basically just donors, isn't it? I mean, it's just the good-hearted people who you put the hat around and whoever throws a few dimes in?
No federal funding. It is all private donations and the generosity of tens of thousands of people across the world to sponsor a child and sponsor a sister.
Now, we have a question which is quite technical. I'm sure you're up for it, though. It's asking about the order in terms of, is it an order of pontifical right or is it pontifical wrong? Which way is it?
I don't think it's pontifical wrong. That's a great question. I am not able to answer that. That's a great question. What I can tell you about the sisters is that they take five vows. So poverty, mm-hmm. chastity, and obedience, the normal, or I shouldn't yep. say normal, but the standard ones.
Sure.
But then they take a vow of prayer. Mm-hmm. Each sister commits to 3 hours of prayer a day. And I've had a chance to pray with them. It's the most beautiful thing in the world.
And now, the fifth just on that, Dave, when you say 3 hours of prayer, does that, I mean, each community has its own spirit, I know, but is that like an hour's adoration? Does that include the Holy Mass? I mean, what, or is it the rosary? What are we talking for 3 hours?
So what Father Al would tell them, first of all, is to the sisters before he died in 1992 is, I don't want you to get technical about this, that you did 2 hours and 49 minutes or what have you. So it is a combination of prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament. In fact, all of it is in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And that does include Mass and holy hours. But the sisters are also dependent upon local priests at each of their sites to say Mass for them, to provide spiritual direction. And so from day to day, there is some variance in how that 3 hours looks. But It's both their one point of rest during the day, and where they get nourishment. And again, it's such a beautiful thing to see them in prayer.
Okay. Sorry.
The fifth vow being service. So the fifth vow is service.
Oh, yes. Forgive me. That's right. So let's just recap those vows. Sorry, I cut in there. So it's poverty, chastity, and obedience. They're the classics. And then prayer and service. Service, how does that, again, how does that in concrete terms play out? Just the life they lead, I guess?
Father Al wanted the sisters to be entirely devoted to serving the poor. And right. Truly, they do not have a minute off, an hour off, a day off. It is 24/7. I know that you were going to ask about the life of the children, and not to jump ahead, but each sister at each Boys Town and Girls Town site has 50 children who are their spiritual sons and daughters. And any of your listeners who are parents can imagine having 50 children from various backgrounds of deep suffering, deep pain, and now they are your children, entrusted to you to be nurtured and cared for. And then you see all these children under the care of their mother, sister, to become such joyful, giving people. Again, it's an absolute miracle to see it.
Yeah, well, while we're on it then, Dave, just take us through the average day of how a sister's life in one of these villages, how it would play out.
So it does start, as I was saying earlier, with the sisters going two by two to recruit students into the program. And our network of 160,000 graduates also help us to identify families who will make good children, who will make good candidates for the program, because the sisters can't serve every child in need as much as we want to. But they're looking for that desire to improve their lives is what they're looking for. And just this past week, the new students came to their new schools and dressed in rags, dressed in their faces caked with dirt, their hair filled with lice, some extremely underweight, some extremely overweight, and they are in the process of being oriented into the sites today as we speak.
Right.
They'll get uniforms. They'll take showers, many of them for the first time in their lives. Wow. They'll learn how to turn on a faucet. We've had children say, "This is the first time I've ever walked up a flight of stairs." So you can imagine these little things that the sisters are doing for their children right now to prepare them for life at Boys Town and Girls Town. Now, once they're settled, and as I was also saying, it's the first time that they have clothes that they can call their own. So they get a school uniform, they get an athletic uniform, they get shoes, they get socks, and for many of them, it's the first time that they have this experience of ownership.
Yeah.
Once settled, they are in school in classes 6 days a week for 8 hours a day. So it is very rigorous. It's sort of the Korean background of the sisters themselves in that rigor of work to both to educate them and to form them. And in the usual subjects, math, language, religion, sciences. They also on site get regular medical care, dental care, There are counseling services as well. During the afternoons, when they get out of classes, the mother sister will have an activity planned for them, whether it's gardening or playing music or playing sports. Again, as any family would experience when the kids get home from school, you know, you got some homework to do, maybe go outside and play for a bit. And then they'll have their meal.
Mm-hmm.
They will all together pray the rosary at 7 p.m., which, again, is one of the most beautiful experiences that I've had in my life is to pray with them. And then Sunday is a day of rest, mass as an entire community, special activities. And then throughout the year, there are special activities. So the one that's coming up soon is every child's birthday, and that's on August 15th, which is the day that the Order of the Sisters was founded by Father Al. And because many of the children don't know their birthday or their age, Father Al was inspired to celebrate everyone's birthday on the same day. And
wow.
So they'll have a big cake. They'll have a big meal, and then each mother sister will give every one of her spiritual children a gift, a unique gift, whether it's a new pair of shoes or a rosary that she made for them. And it's one of the most exciting days of the year for us, August 15th.
Now, there is a danger with an organization like this, of course, Dave, that you become just another NGO. You become another humanitarian effort. I mean, is there a definite sort of desire that this is a Christocentric, a very Eucharistic, a very Christian, very Catholic venture? Is there a desire to really keep this truly apostolic?
I'll start my answer by saying I have never felt the presence of the devil more than I have since being with the Sisters of Mary. And of course, it's a scary thing to say that, but it frankly is what gives me assurance that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can say it's our website going down randomly when we have this big public relations opportunity, or just this palpable feeling that the work is being attacked. And I've been in various positions serving the church. I have never felt the attacks as direct as they are with the sisters. And I think it's precisely because they are Eucharistic. And Father Al would tell the sisters, it does nothing for us to bring these children out of material poverty if we're not saving their souls.
Yes.
And so not only is this the most effective program that can be had from a temporal perspective in terms of what a donor, when they support these sisters, the impact that they're having with those donor dollars, but the spiritual component. This is the kingdom of God. I have no doubt in my mind that this is where God is building his kingdom. It's mm-hmm. at these boys' towns and girls' towns. And they are the city on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Our donors are transformed by the sisters and these children as much as we are providing material support for them.
Mm-hmm.
So...
We just got a few minutes left, Dave, and I'm just kind of curious because you're relatively new into post, I believe, and I just wondered how you came across, how you first came across the World Villages for Children and the kind of vision of Father Al. Where did you stumble upon it?
The Holy Spirit is,
of course,
is, you know. I worked in a chancery for 4 years in a development office, and I coordinated a book club amongst the employees of the Chancery, and one of the participants said, hey, I came across this biography of Aloysius Schwartz. This looks good. I've heard good things about it. Why don't we read it? And I'd never heard of the guy. And it was transformative to read about Father Al. And then 4 months later, a close priest friend sent me this job description and said, Dave, I think this might be right up your alley. And then reading that this was the organization founded by Father Al, and it was on the Solemnity of Saint Joseph, and my wife and I had been doing a novena to Saint Joseph for my career discernment. So
wow.
It was if there ever is a lining of stars in my life, that was it. And
wonderful. So listen, Dave, we're nearly out of time. So do you just want to tell people where they can find out more about the World Villages for Children and also where they can find out more about you as well?
Please go to worldvillages.org. No spaces, and just worldvillages.org. And what I will ask your listeners to do, if I can, is to pray for Father Al's canonization, and in the meantime, to ask his intercessions for your needs. The Holy Spirit is utterly behind these sisters, and so we know that he is interceding for us, and there is an efficacy to the prayers around this organization. And so please, you'll find the intercessory prayer to Father Al there. And if you are so moved to support a child, there's a donate option on the page. And we really appreciate generosity. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak about this great mission with you, Kevin, this morning.
No, it's been an absolute pleasure, Dave. We're about to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and we'll remember you and all the Sisters of Mary in that prayer in the next segment. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Dave.
Thank you, Kevin.
When we come back, we're praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Stay tuned.